Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Jurisdiction Stripping Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On November 7, 2017, the Supreme Court heard argument in Patrick v. Zinke, a case involving separation of powers concerns that may arise when Congress passes a statute directing federal courts to promptly dismiss a pending lawsuit without amending any underlying substantive or procedural laws. In 2012, the Supreme Court held in the case Matchie B. Nash She Wish Band of Potawatomi Indians versus Patchick that David Patchick had prudential standing to bring a lawsuit under the Administrative Procedure Act against the U.S. Department of the Interior, the DOI, to challenge DOI's taking title under the Indian Reorganization Act to a certain tract of land that was then put into trust for use by the Matchie B. Nash She Wish Band of Potawatomi Indians, also known as the Gun Lake Band or Gun Lake Tribe. Congress responded by passing the Gun Lake Trust Land Reaffirmation Act, the Gun Lake Act, reaffirming DOI's taking of land into trust for the Gun Lake Tribe, removing jurisdiction from the federal courts over any action relating to the land in question, and indicating that any such actions shall be promptly dismissed. The district court in which Patrick had filed his suit determined that its jurisdiction to resolve the suit had been stripped by the Gun Lake Act, and that the act was not unconstitutional. It therefore dismissed Patrick's case. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit affirmed the district court's judgment on appeal. The Supreme Court then granted certiorari to address whether a statute directing the federal courts to promptly dismiss a pending lawsuit following substantive determinations by the courts, including the Supreme Court's determination that the suit may proceed, without amending the underlying substantive or procedural laws, violates the Constitution's separation of powers principles. And now, to discuss the case, we have Eric Zimmerman, attorney at Robinson Bradshaw, who filed an amicus brief in the case on behalf of Professor Edward Carnett in support of the respondents.
This is actually the second time that the Patchick case has come before the Supreme Court. In its previous decision in this case, the court addressed issues of sovereign immunity and standing. And now, in the case's return trip to the court, it presents an interesting separation of powers question about the extent to which Congress has the authority to enact statutes that dictate the outcome of cases that are pending in the federal courts. The Patchick case began as a challenge to a decision by the U.S. Department of the Interior to take a piece of property into trust. The property is known as the Bradley property, which I believe is because it's located near Bradley, Michigan. And the Department of the Interior took the Bradley property into trust for the benefit of an Indian tribe known as the Gun Lake Tribe. The plaintiff in the case is David Patchick, who lives near the Bradley property. He brought suit in 2008 and claimed that for statutory reasons, the government didn't have the authority to take the Bradley property into trust for the Gun Lake Tribe. The government responded that it had sovereign immunity against Patchick's challenge and that he lacked standing to bring his suit. The district court dismissed the suit, but the Supreme Court ultimately overturned that ruling in 2012 and held that the government had waived its sovereign immunity against Patchick's suit and that Patchick had standing. So that ruling allowed the challenge to continue and the court remanded for further proceedings. At that point, Congress stepped in and enacted a new statute, which is now at issue in the case. And that statute, which is known as the Gun Lake Act, does two things. First, it ratifies as a statutory matter the Department of the Interior's decision to take the Bradley property into trust. And second, it provides that any action relating to the Bradley property, including pending actions, quote, shall not be filed or maintained in a federal court and shall be promptly dismissed, end quote. On its face, the Gun Lake Act requires Patchick's case to be dismissed because that case relates to the Bradley property. So the question in the case is now whether this new statute is constitutional and whether Congress has the authority to require Patchak's case to be dismissed. In the Supreme Court, Patchak argues that the Gun Lake Act is unconstitutional because it violates the separation of powers. His basic theory is that the federal courts, and not Congress, have the judicial power to decide cases, and he argues that here, Congress improperly attempted to exercise the judicial power by dictating the outcome of his case and ordering that it be dismissed. On the other side of the case are the federal government and the Gun Lake Tribe. They argue that the statute is constitutional because it fits within Supreme Court precedent, which has held that Congress can change the law and it can make those changes retroactive and apply them to pending cases. And they argue that's what Congress did here. The government and the tribe say either the Gun Lake Act withdraws federal court jurisdiction over suits relating to the Bradley property, or it restores the federal government's sovereign immunity against such suits, which was the question that was at issue in the previous decision in Patchak. Either way, they argue that the statute changed the law on jurisdiction or on sovereign immunity, and that the statute just applied that change in the law to pending cases. And the government and the tribe argue that it doesn't make a difference for constitutional purposes that Congress stated in the statute that pending cases shall be dismissed. They say that's just the natural result of withdrawing jurisdiction or reinstating sovereign immunity, and so the dismissal clause just makes explicit what's already implicit in the rest of the statute. Now, much of the debate in the case relates to how to properly understand another recent Supreme Court decision that addressed a similar separation of powers issue, and that's the decision in Bank Markazi against Peterson. In that case, which was decided in 2016, victims of state-sponsored terrorism were trying to enforce judgments against assets that belonged to the National Bank of Iran, and while those enforcement efforts were pending, Congress enacted a statute that essentially provided that the terrorism victims should win and that these assets were enforceable. Not exactly in those terms, but that was the implication. The Iranian bank argued that this statute violated the separation of powers because it effectively resolved these pending cases. The majority in the Supreme Court, in an opinion by Justice Ginsburg, held that the statute was valid, that it didn't violate the separation of powers, because Congress had changed the law regarding the assets at issue, and it had validly applied that change to pending cases. Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Sotomayor dissented and argued that the statute violated the separation of powers because it determined the outcome of those cases that were pending. Interestingly, the portion of Bank Markazi that's probably most relevant to the Patchak case deals with a hypothetical statute that the Chief Justice raised in his dissent. He argued that the statute in Bank Markazi was equivalent to a statute saying that in the case of Smith v. Jones, Smith wins. And he argued that Congress can't enact such a statute, that it violates the separation of powers for Congress to say in Smith v. Jones, Smith wins. The majority actually agreed with the second part of that. They said Congress can't enact a statute saying that in Smith v. Jones, Smith wins. That would be unconstitutional, but they distinguished the statute in Bank Markazi from that hypothetical statute. So all of the justices agreed in Bank Markazi that Congress does not have the authority to say in Smith v. Jones, Smith wins. And so now part of the question in the Patchak case is whether the Gun Lake Act, which requires cases relating to the Bradley property to be dismissed, is analogous to or equivalent to the hypothetical statute regarding Smith v. Jones. Patchak argues that the statutes are no different from one another. He says, you know, given that the statute requires cases to be dismissed, it's just like saying Smith wins. The government and the tribe, on the other hand, argue that the statute are different. They say that when you're imagining a statute saying in Smith v. Jones, Smith wins, it suggests that Smith is the plaintiff and Smith is getting a victory on the merits, whereas they say that the statute in Patchak is actually directing a dismissal on jurisdictional grounds or on sovereign immunity grounds, and that's different from a directing a victory on the merits. So, not surprisingly, that comparison between the hypothetical statute from Bank Markazi and the Gun Lake Act was one of the issues that the justices explored at oral argument recently in the Patchak case. And also, perhaps not surprisingly, it's an issue that I don't think the oral argument produced a clear answer on. It seemed to me that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kennedy in particular were skeptical of the argument that the hypothetical Smith v. Jones statute could be distinguished from the Gun Lake Act. But other justices seemed more open to that distinction, and some of the other justices seemed more concerned about whether it would be possible to draw a clear line between statutes that, according to Patchak, violate the separation of powers by directing the outcome of pending cases, and on the other hand, statutes that validly change the law, including the jurisdictional law of the federal courts, and apply that change retroactively. And Justices Alito and Justice Kagan in particular were pressing Patchak's counsel for a clear line between valid and invalid statutes under the separation of powers, and I'm not sure that he ever gave them an answer that satisfied them on that. The oral argument also explored a number of other issues, including whether this statute is actually about jurisdiction at all, given that it doesn't actually use the word jurisdiction, and whether that ultimately matters to the outcome of the case, whether it matters whether the statute is about jurisdiction or whether it could be directing a dismissal on the merits. So at the end of the day, there are a number of issues that were raised. I don't think any of them were neatly wrapped up at the oral argument, so I don't know that it produced a lot of clarity about how the case will come out. You know, consistent with his dissent in Bank Markazi, it seemed like the Chief Justice was inclined to find a separation of powers problem here. It seemed like Justice Kagan and probably Justice Alito were on the other end of the spectrum, but it was a little less clear where the other justices stood, and it seemed like there were a number of open issues and potential rationales that the court might adopt in deciding the case. So it seems to me this will be one that'll take the court some time to sort out. And, you know, my hunch is that because the court upheld the statute in Bank Markazi, they'll ultimately uphold the statute here as well, but it will be interesting to see whether that's right, and even if so, what rationale the court adopts in reaching a decision in this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.